This week on Radically Distinct Radio, I interview three guests from TWIST, Seattle's queer film festival. I speak to Keith Bacon, who's the executive director of the entire festival, Gretchen Berger, who is the program director for TWIST 360, which is this really neat leading edge program around virtual reality that I definitely recommend that you tune into. And I speak to Clyde Peterson, who is the director and animator of the opening night film called Torrey Pines. Hello. Welcome to Radically Distinct Radio. I'm Jen Morgan, and I'm here on location at the opening night for the TWIST Seattle Queer Film Festival, and I'm going to interview a bunch of really amazing people who helped put this festival on. First up, I have Keith Bacon, who is the festival director of TWIST. Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Thank you.
Tell me, why are you doing this? Like, how did you end up here?
Well, I've worked with $3 Bill Cinema, which is the organization that produces TWIST, formerly known as the Seattle Lesbian and Gay Film Festival. I worked for them for about 7 years, and 2 years ago I took a leave of all things film festival to get back to writing, which is sort of what, you know, is my creative passion. And the person who replaced me 2 years ago took a new gig, and Jason Plourd, the executive director of $3 Bill Cinema, called me and asked, like, hey, could you help out with this year's festival? And I was also part of the rebranding team that led us from going from the Seattle Lesbian and Gay Film Festival to TWIST, Seattle Queer Film Festival. So the opportunity to sort of use the rebranding as a chance to sort of reinvent the festival as well was very exciting to me. And
awesome.
So that's why I'm sitting here.
Okay. So tell me what... Now, I also had interviewed Kathleen, who was your replacement for some time.
Yeah.
And she was telling me that you were going through a rebrand. How did you come up with the name TWIST?
Well, it was a long process where we talked to our audience. We did surveys. We did focus groups. We consulted with marketing professionals and just did a lot of thinking about what would work for us. The Seattle Lesbian and Gay Film Festival, the old name, was outdated and not as inclusive as we wanted it to be. And it was actually inaccurate because we show movies of interest and about more than just gays and lesbians. We show movies about trans people. We show movies about gender non-conforming people. We show movies with just sort of a queer sensibility. So we really wanted to have a name that was more reflective of what we were actually doing and be more open to the whole queer community. And then in terms of TWIST, we also wanted a more marketable and fun name to say than the huge mouthful of Seattle Lesbian and Gay Film Festival.
Yeah.
And so TWIST is sort of like our main name, and Seattle Queer Film Festival is maybe like the subhead or the tagline or whatever, if you will, to sort of define it. That's how it all came about.
But where'd you come with the word TWIST?
Well, we did a bunch of focus groups, and actually I was hired because, like I said, I'm a writer. I'm a copywriter in my spare time, and TWIST was one of the names that I came up with in terms of a naming exploration, because that's something I get hired to do. Is I've named everything from theme park rides to movies to film festivals.
Yeah.
And so TWIST was actually one of the names that I came up with that then we went through this arduous, testing and talking about process. And through all these different focus groups, TWIST kept coming up as the winner.
Yeah. But how did you come up with it?
Oh, that's just what I do, you know.
But, you must have been like, okay, this and this equals this or something.
Well, I mean, I think TWIST it's fun, it's playful, our festival is definitely known in the world of film festivals and also queer film festivals as a really fun one. And there is a film tie-in, you know, a twist to film or a plot twist. It's just sort of, you know, snappy and different. And it's not...
And short.
It's short. And we also really didn't want to do something, the kind of thing that is typically done, like out this or queer that, or I mean, not queer, but like pink. There's a lot of
So literal.
Things. Yeah, so literal. We wanted to have more fun with it. And it's been really embraced by the local community, and it's just a lot more fun to say.
Okay, awesome. And so, tell me about this festival. What are some highlights? Some things that we should be thinking about coming to see for
everything.
Okay,
it's 11 days and nights, and the programming this year is I'm really proud of it. I'm glad that I was part of it. We have tons of amazing movies from all over the world. Quite a few world premieres, quite a few Northwest premieres.
And okay, stop. What does that mean?
Means like it's a world premiere has never played anywhere. Torrey Pines, our opening night film, was the world premiere of it. You know,
okay.
It had never played anywhere else to a public audience before.
All right.
And Northwest premieres means like it has never played in Seattle or Portland or things like that. Our closing night film is a West Coast premiere. It's called The Pass, and it stars Russell Tovey, who's a really amazing out actor. He was on HBO's Looking, and he's currently on ABC's Quantico.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really amazing, powerful film. Russell plays a major football/soccer star. It's based in the UK, so football over there, soccer here, who is struggling with his sexuality as like a famous star athlete. And Russell gives an amazing performance. It's a really, really strong film, and we're excited to host the West Coast premiere of it for our closing night.
I saw the premiere or the preview for it at
uh-huh.
the theater. They're beautiful. I mean, first of all, they're all beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, they look nice on camera, and they're just like deeply emotional,
yes.
like connecting moments
yes.
in the preview.
It's both Russell Tovey in his underwear and
yeah.
Russell Tovey delivering an incredible performance. So, like, everyone wins.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what the goals are of Twist Felt. Did you have, like, yearly, we have a specific focus, or...
I think this year it was, with the rebrand into Twist, it was really my sort of mission was to broaden the horizons for the festival beyond film. Because we were broadening the name, you know, and trying to reach more people, I wanted our programming to reflect that as well. So we're, in addition to showing a lot of really great films, we're also doing a lot of other kinds of programs that we've never done before. Everything from a 2D visual art show that was curated by some festival supporters.
And that's this right here?
No, it's actually in the building where our offices are located, the
okay.
12th Avenue Arts Building. But the Queer Makers pop-up mart, which is happening right now, that is another thing that we created just for this year. It's local queer designers, crafters, artisans, and so we just invited them here to be part of our opening night. They've been here since 5 o'clock to be part of the Capitol Hill Art Walk as well,
mm-hmm.
so that people who aren't necessarily going to our film are at least getting an opportunity to see, you know, local artists. And it again goes back to just these other forms of visual storytelling that I kind of wanted to embrace this year. We have a dance class, the Twist Twerk Shop.
The twerk?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you know how to twerk?
Not really. I'd like to pretend I do, but no.
Yeah, I'm going to find out. You should come.
Okay.
It's a week from Sunday at
okay.
V2. That should be pretty fun. We have a filmmaking challenge. We have live performance. Torrey Pines tonight included a ton of live performers. And then the Long Haul Live, which is happening at the Egyptian on Tuesday, is another local production with a lot of, with the Buckaroos. Are you familiar with them? They're
yeah.
a Seattle-based cowboy-themed burlesque troupe.
Doesn't that happen at the market, right?
Yeah, at the Can-Can.
The Can-Can.
Yeah, so this...
That's going to be part of the festival,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Tuesday night. The Long Haul Live is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's a hybrid film performance with cowboys in thongs gyrating their way into your heart.
That sounds awesome. Okay, so for people who are listening and who don't know things like the word queer, like what does that encompass? Like, how do we come up with one term, you know, as opposed to like
queer,
an acronym?
I mean, it's just about being broader than gay or lesbian or trans, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, for some people, it's a sensibility. For some people, it is like how they actually describe themselves, or, you know, it's just broader. And I don't even feel like it's up for me to define what it means, because it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an easier way to say lesbian, gay, bi, trans, ally. You know, it's like it's all of that in one word rather than a bunch of letters.
And that makes sense totally. And I mean, and also like I happen to like that it's the one word that you can say that yeah. it's not, you don't miss a letter. Because I, when I was trying to say, when I was interviewing Kathleen, I was like, oh man, this is, I'm like really butchering this badly.
Don't miss a letter.
I know. But like, what is, probably it's so obvious to you, but why have a queer film festival?
Because it's really important to, for two reasons. One, for queer people to see themselves, their lives, their stories, their people on screen. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, most of the movies and TV shows that are put out there for us to look at don't really tell our stories and don't touch on our lives. And that's really important for us as a community. It's also really important for all the people that aren't us, that don't know like what it means to be queer. They don't know the struggles or the triumphs or what it, you know, what gay, lesbian, queer people go through on a daily basis, or our history of you know, what has happened with this community. So that's why it's important, you know, both for the people who want to see sort of themselves and know that they're being represented, and also the rest of the world who maybe want to learn or need to learn, you know, and be exposed to people, stories, and places that they never would have known about otherwise.
You know, I mean, and also there's a lot of very relatable, no matter what your, you know, orientation is, a lot of relatable subject matter that maybe isn't as mainstream, period.
Right.
You know, like some of the things, I like the movie, in the movie tonight, about, I mean, how emotional that little girl was.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a non pleasant way, in some cases, and right. some of the things that she felt could have been, didn't matter if you were lesbian or whatever your right. gender was, that you might have a lot of those fears of growing up and becoming a woman, and that was very relatable.
Yeah, and I think in this year's festival we have a lot more programming that isn't geared towards a specific gender or a specific orientation. It's for everyone, you know. And although Clyde Peterson, you know, who did Torrey Pines, is a trans artist, I mean, I feel like that film really does speak to a very wide general audience for exactly, you know, the reasons that mm-hmm. you just mentioned.
That, and its animation. I mean, it's just so beautifully done. And there's no talking. Is there any way for people to see it again?
We're showing it again the last Saturday of the festival, which will be October 22nd at noon at AMC Pacific Place. It is not the epic live production that we did tonight. It's the movie with all of that music and sound pre-recorded. It's still an incredible experience. That's the first time I saw it that way. It was like that.
And it was amazing. And we're going to talk to that director in a little bit here. But anything else that you want us to know about this film? Anything else the listeners should know? I know that you didn't want to choose any one film except for maybe the closing one for anyone to choose.
Yeah, I could never choose a favorite. That would get me in trouble. they're all great. Twistfilmfest.org is the website. We're happening now through October 23rd on Capitol Hill and downtown. And also Twist 360, which I think that you talked to Gretchen already about the stuff that's happening with that. We think the first time that a festival featuring virtual reality and immersive filmmaking that's all about from a queer perspective has ever really been done on the scale. So we're pretty excited about it.
Awesome. And you have a great community here.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, anything I've ever been to for your festivals have been so well turned. I mean, like the turnout is huge.
Yeah.
It was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily my friend was here early and had a seat for me. I mean, I have this party pass.
Yeah, we sold out tonight.
Sold out.
Yeah. Get your tickets in advance.
Don't
be left out in the cold.
All right. Well, thank you so much for making
the
time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Hello. This is Radically Distinct Radio, and I'm Jen Morgan, and I'm here the opening night of the Twist Queer Film Festival in Seattle, and I have with me Gretchen Berger, who is the program director of Twist 360. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me, what does it mean, Twist 360?
So Twist is the queer film festival, and 360 is really a festival, a part of the festival that's about immersive media. So virtual reality, 360 video, and augmented reality.
Okay. And does, so do I go to a, like one of the show, one of the specific films will be done that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. And so in the last few years, film festivals have started adding this kind of VR component. And there's been a lot of education for everybody, because they're really, there's some similarities in that it's about moving images, but that's about it, because the way you have to display, so you think about virtual reality, you put on a headset, it's a solitary experience, yeah, versus going into a theater with 600 other people like they did tonight. So it's more of a gallery setting.
Okay.
So like this weekend, we have the Twist 360 VR gallery, and we have five pieces that will be shown in a headset. So you sign up for an hour time slot and go in and see the five different pieces.
How many other people will be in there with you?
So it's a pretty small gallery. It's part of, it's at the Northwest Film Forum in their Cinema 2. And I think we're going to have six or seven kind of swivel chair headsets.
Wow.
Setups.
Okay. And you'll be experiencing art that moves?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's film. Some of them are cinematic, and some of them are kind of more journalistic and nonfiction.
Okay.
And the joy is that when you put on the headset, you can look up and look down and look around and look around. And you're really immersed in a world, right? It's very different than film. I mean, film has always been traditionally about going into a dark room and you have that immersive experience, but you're all looking in the same direction.
Yeah.
And the filmmaker has really determined what you're looking at. And in the immersive world, I could be looking over here and you could be looking over there, and we would have very different experiences of that story.
Okay. Wow. That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
So how many of those are there?
So there are, let's see, there are four pieces in the VR gallery.
In the VR gallery, mm-hmm. like throughout the festival?
So just this, over this weekend.
Okay.
And the Twist 360 really is happening on the two weekends of the festival. So this weekend, we're having the VR gallery. We're also doing, we're really super excited about this. We got some funding from Oculus to do a 360 boot camp to seed queer 360 production. So training local filmmakers and artists in this new immersive way of storytelling.
Okay. And how do you even curate this?
Well, I think that's a great question. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, how do you decide, I mean, do you just put a call out for VR ideas or pieces already existing because they already exist? Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to a call for a film festival in that there are filmmakers, but artists from other disciplines who have been moving into this VR space. And obviously, there's a long tradition of kind of gaming and VR, and in the last two or three years, there's been more of a focus on what we're calling cinematic VR. So taking that tradition of cinema, but setting it in an immersive world. And filmmakers are really having to learn a lot of new tools. There's a lot of things that don't work so well.
Such as?
Well, I think that idea, that whole idea that everything is in the frame. So filmmaking has always been about a frame.
Right, and like then, lights are in a certain way.
Right, and so I can control this and I don't have to worry about what's happening around here. But now all of a sudden the camera is going to be placed right here. And as a filmmaker, I have to make a lot more choices about my art direction, right? Everything that's happening around it. And then also how I use that space, right? It becomes much more, actually, I think there's filmmakers have lots to learn from theater and choreographers right now, like that sense of how I move in a space and how I set that space up.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So who are the people who are going towards this? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you see a trend towards a certain, like, women, for example, like, or more queer, or more, like, is there a specific type that's tending towards this?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's a super exciting, I've been a filmmaker for a long time, and I've been really re-energized by being in the VR world right now, because for one thing, it's entirely new and people are learning, and people, it's like an open source world. It's like, I don't know how to do this. So I'm, you know, but that person over there is figuring out and they're going to share it with me. So there's a real sense of like discovery and community that's going on right now. Now you're going to have to remind me. Like
I was just wondering if there was a certain type of person, like, oh, we're seeing a lot of people from theater coming in and taking up directing in film all of a sudden, or mm-hmm. you know, if you're seeing any trends in terms of who's, because that's, you know, I guess that would be like a leading edge in terms of what's happening in the film world.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, I feel like I can't really speak to like who, I mean, I think people are moving into it from many different arenas, like gaming, obviously, filmmaking. I would say there is really strong women in VR, and I think that there is something, it's kind of a change in a paradigm, you know, so like just more conceptually, it's really about, like, and this is some of the themes we're talking about here at Twist 360, it's a non-binary world, right? It's a 360 immersive world, so there's been a really strong female presence, queer presence, people of color.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now when we're going to come and see these experiences or films, mm-hmm. What do we call them?
Well, it's somewhere in between. I think a lot of people are starting to call it an experience, mm-hmm. Because I think that is what immersive media does best. I mean, I think there will always be a place for going into a theater and being immersed in a different way in a very linear narrative.
Yeah.
And this is something that's more about, is much more experiential. There's an amazing journalist who's doing what she calls immersive journalism. And she was a print journalist and a documentary filmmaker, but never felt like she could have the impact with her stories. And now is combining gaming technology with journalism to create immersive experiences. For example, one of her latest pieces is about domestic violence. And she sets you in the middle of a domestic violence experience. And her goal is not to tell a whole story, but to kind of catalyze you, put you there, make you a witness to this in hopes of catalyzing some kind of action to come from it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So now when we come see these experiences, well, you said that you're going to be like timed as a person who might buy a ticket.
Absolutely.
Or come experience it. How would that work for you?
Yeah. So most of the cinematic VR that we're showing is like between 5 and 10 minutes. So you would sign up for an hour time slot, and within that time, see all the pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's two different experiences, one each weekend.
Well, we just have different programming. So there's the VR gallery, and then next weekend we have this really amazing VR art experience, and it's a live VR experience called The Machine to Be Another.
Okay. Tell me more.
Yes. So if you and I did this experiment together, you would have a VR headset on with a camera on top, and I would have a VR headset with a camera on top, and it's what they call body swapping. So when you look down, you would see my body, and when I look down, I would see your body. And so they've been using this to really look at different issues like gender and sexuality, race, ability and disability, and it's all about engaging otherness and exploring identity and empathy. The,
like,
relationship.
You're changing your perception of who you are.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So here at Twist 360, we're really looking at gender through a queer lens. Like, how do we get, what are those kind of gender binary constructs that we're all stuck in? Mm-hmm. And then how might we stretch them out a little bit more, as the queer community has always done. Right?
Yeah. And when you say binary constructs, you sort of mean, you know, male, female, mm-hmm. or right, wrong. Is that basically what
absolutely.
You're saying?
Yeah. I think maybe like we're at a most extreme example of it in our, you know, in the world right now, right? I mean, everywhere you look, it's like everything is at such extremes. So when you think about a 360 world, there's a lot more room for exploration as well as experience.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm like totally going to come now. I mean, like, I had no idea. I just looked at it and it said Twist 360. And I was like, ah. And now that I've talked to you about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I get to put all that stuff on? Like, just anybody can come?
Yeah. So the way we've set up the program is that there are opportunities to learn and watch and participate. And so the learning is this team. They're actually, it's a project that's based in Barcelona. So two of the members of the team are coming and they'll do some demos and presentations about their work. We have a section that we're calling the watching section where we've asked some different Seattle artists to come and think about their own, like, you know, if you, under this kind of umbrella of exploring gender, what would you do and who would you bring to do that with? Mm-hmm. And we have one of the artists from the Nine Evenings Festival who's going to come, who's a choreographer, and he's going to bring some of his different dancers. We also have an artist group called Lion's Mane, which is an artist collective of queer and trans artists, and they're going to come and do an experiment. And then the final category is kind of an open call body swap. And the only thing we're asking is that folks identify in that moment either as masculine or feminine. Mm-hmm. So that could, you know, you could go and decide, okay, I'm going to go line up on this side and have this experience. And
okay.
It's good. It's all a big experiment. We don't know what's going to come of it.
Well, it sounds like this is like the very, I guess I would say experiential, but experimental part of the whole festival.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating. And this is a program you created.
Yeah.
Well, I'm totally excited about it.
You'll have to come.
I'm definitely going to come. So if I had to pick one, what one do you think I should choose?
Well, I have one other. There's one other. Okay. Can I tell you?
Yeah, of course.
Our featured artist is Rose Trochet, who has been a longtime independent queer filmmaker. She had the breakout indie film called Go Fish in the 90s, went on to do a lot of television like 6 Feet Under and The L Word, who now is totally sold on VR and is actually in production right now on a VR episodic about queer life in high school.
Wow.
And anyway, she's coming next weekend and she's going to be giving a talk and be part of some of her programming. So she's like a great voice about bridging traditional cinema and VR.
Awesome. And when is that?
That's next Saturday.
Next Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's hard to choose.
None of you want to choose so far. Everyone's like, I can't choose. But I love what you've given us so far, and I definitely am excited to be a part of the festival.
I hope you come.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you so much. Hello, and welcome to Radically Distinct Radio. I'm Jen Morgan, and I'm here on location at the after party. It's the opening night of Twist Seattle's Queer Film Festival, and I am here with the most important person of the night in so many ways, the director of the opening night film, which was called Tory Pines, and
correct.
Your name is?
My name Clyde is Peterson. Clyde Peterson.
Should we say it together?
One, two, three.
Clyde Peterson. Peterson. I love the film.
Thanks.
I mean, first of all, I can't believe that there was almost no talking in the entire film, like no dialogue. It was mumble, like Charlie Brown style. Was that Charlie Brown kind of reference on purpose?
A little bit. Our drummer was excited about how they use the saxophone to talk through the saxophone in Charlie
Brown.
Is
that what that was? Okay.
Yeah, so we did a lot of Charlie Brown talking through the saxophone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And another standout was that the entire audio was live. Yeah?
Yes. Well, there was some pre-recorded work, but yeah, for the most part, an hour of live performance.
An hour of live, like the music. And the festival director was earlier saying a lot of the like the actual
sound effects and Foley and singing.
All of that was live.
Yeah, all of it was live.
So what wasn't live then?
Oh, just, let's see, what wasn't live? Just a few sound effects like that were too troublesome to really stack up and do live. Yeah, just kind of simplified the show a little bit.
Okay,
so
got it.
Travel with it.
So is this a story from your life?
Yeah, it's autobiographical.
It's autobiographical.
Yeah.
And I mean, I first of all, it was so beautiful.
like just the watching of it and the pacing of it and the way that, like, how many times she would look back and forth.
Oh yeah.
It had a really great timing about it. What inspired you to make the film, and why do it in animation?
Well, I'm an animator by trade. I make music videos for bands mostly. And I was just talking with some friends in the animation community, and one of them was like, oh, would anyone ever make a feature? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's just do it. So just did a Kickstarter and quit my job and made a movie in a year and a half.
Okay. So yeah. Animation is just, that's how you would normally make a film. You wouldn't think to do it another way.
I studied documentary filmmaking in school, but I'm mostly just interested in animation these days. Stop motion animation, to be clear. Not like 3D or computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, okay, stop. So explain that, what that means.
It's like you take an object and you take a picture of it and then you move it a tiny bit and then you take another picture of it and then you do it like 50,000 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that would be, for example, when we were watching the girl sleeping and her eyes are closed and then all of a sudden the only thing that moves are her one eye, like her one right eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you take like a lot of pictures and then move that one eye and then move it again and again and again.
Okay. Yeah. And you said it took a year to make this film.
A year and a half.
That's incredible. I've been involved with the 48-hour film festival three times now, and you know, obviously you make that in 48 hours, so there's a lot of things you can't do.
Absolutely. I try to avoid those because I want to work a little bit slower.
Yeah. And so a year and a half. So what takes a year and a half?
Like, all of the building of the sets and the characters and animating all at the same time.
Okay. And is there one thing that was particularly challenging that you might remember?
Well, we did have to build 700 puppets for the Whitney Houston concert. So that was pretty extreme. I had a lot of friends come and help me out. We had like a pizza party several days in a row building puppets.
And when you say puppets, is it like, were they the flat? I mean, because to me they look like paper flat puppets. Paper puppets.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. And tell me about the references. Like, is referencing a big part of your work? Was it just because it was autobiographical?
Yeah. I just wanted to set the tone for the climate of culture that was happening at the time. Like, we were kind of just coming into an era where Bill Clinton was president and Nintendo was upon us very heavily. MTV was here. I think it was just like kids being raised by TV. Seemed like a real big part of my life as a kid, so just wanted to like give some date and time placement without just being like 1992
Seattle. With like as a sticker.
Yeah, like just there's a little bit of nuance to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things, like the Tetris, that was something that stood out. The Whitney Houston really stood out. Star Trek stood out. There was a few different things that you did on the TV. What were some of the shows on the TV that
Doogie Howser, Saved by the Bell, Wheel of Fortune, Judge Judy.
Okay. And so when you are, how does a person get to be opening night for a festival like this?
Well, I don't quite know. I don't run festivals, so, but I'm a local filmmaker and, I've had a long relationship with $3 Bill Cinema, teaching the queer youth camps and, having short films screened at the festival for many years in a row. So, $3 Bill is a fiscal sponsor for the film. So, we were excited to screen it with them first. Yeah. And they came to a previous screening and wanted it to be opening night. It wasn't supposed to be opening night, but they decided to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was really fascinating to watch. And how will it work? Will you ever show it with that same audio track? Or was that audio track recorded and that will be part of the...
We did record that tonight. That'll just be for fun as a document. The pre-recorded soundtrack was made by Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie. And we worked with him with that full band to record the soundtrack live in the studio. And then we made it into like a DVD, just like normal.
Yeah.
On this tour we're going on with our band, we're just taking a 4-piece band, bass, drums, guitar, and cello, and we'll
there's a different audio mix, and so we'll just play the music. We won't do the Foley or the sound effects.
Okay. Yeah. And do you, are you playing the music also?
I play the bass in the band.
You're playing the bass in the band. Yeah. Okay. And do you do any of the audio, like the sound, like the people?
No, we had guests do that. So those are all pre-recorded. They'll just be pre-recorded.
Those will all be pre-recorded. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. And where are you going to show it next?
We're going on a 60-show tour starting Tuesday. All of North America, like basically the square.
Yeah.
The top of Canada, down the side of the East Coast, across the Southeast and up the coast. We'll end at the Henry Art Gallery on December 15th at the UW.
Well, that's so fascinating.
Yeah.
And what, okay, and I don't know enough about like a trek. What would that's be okay. the goal? Would you be trying to get picked up for, like, you know, what does somebody do when they have a film like this? What is your goal with it?
Our goal is just to take it to DIY venues, museums, art spaces, and just play it for people who like art and film.
And get it seen.
Yeah, I'm not too seriously concerned about the commercial aspects of the film.
Okay.
It's not what we made it for, and if someone wants to distribute it, that's great. But we, you know, we're happy.
Yeah, and what about you? Like, anything else that you might want to do, like something like this again?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And this is like my favorite thing to do.
This before.
Oh, you've done it before.
I'll do it again.
Okay. And yeah. So would this be something that would be sort of like a self-promotion? I mean, not that you're doing, obviously, there's an incredibly beautiful message in there about growing up and being a woman. I mean, I think, you know, what is this body that I have? And, oh my gosh, do I want this body that I have? And babies are going to come out of it. And I loved the scene where the boobs are going and they're spraying milk all over the place. And I was just like, I don't know. You had to be like, no matter what your orientation in turn like is, like, just when you're that age, you're like, this is what I have to deal with. I'd rather have balls between my legs.
Yeah, just like general puberty crisis. Yeah. I feel like everyone has puberty crisis. Like, it seems everyone has something.
And then I loved also that she like would get a. Was that her mom? The woman who kidnapped her. That was her her real mom. And then the woman who was smoking all the time. That was grandma. That's your grandma. Okay, I'm talking about her. She's not you.
It's fine.
So I did another question. So was this the symbolism of this? Was it just humor? It was funny.
Oh,
the way
no,
the
she just smoked like a chain smoker. She just smoked a lot.
Yeah,
it was late 80s, early 90s. Everybody smoked Virginia Slims like crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Virginia Slims. Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed that. But anyways, the point I'm kind of going way off topic. But so the story. Which is a beautiful story, which obviously is very relatable. It's, you know, I think across lots of different groups of people. Do you have any desire to promote yourself as a director to get funding for another project like it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely in the market for a rich entrepreneur sugar person to fund my life.
Fund your life.
Absolutely. I grew up poor. I want money. Give it to me.
Give it to
me. Duh. Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, okay.
Like some people, I don't know, have it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know what your next story would be?
I do, but it's a secret.
It's a secret. Not even a little tiny, tiny bit.
It involves my father, but it's not about him.
Okay, got it. Well, I love the film. I'm not just saying that because you're sitting in front of me. I was really excited to talk to you. I thought, you know, wow, a film where there's no talking. It made all of your other senses it just made it such a much more sensual film. Like, you're ready to hear this beautiful music. Anybody who's listening in, the music was fantastic.
Thanks.
And also the way the colors, and it was well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today.
Yeah. I could say that you could find out more at the website in case you weren't here.
Yeah, I would love to do it. What website?
www.torypinesfilm.com.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for tuning into Radically Distinct Radio. You can learn more about the Twist Film Festival at twistfilmfest.org, and you can also find out more about when the next showing of Torrey Pines is. Until next time, be your most powerful brand. Hey, this is Jen Morgan. I want to empower you to be radically distinct. And there are many ways for us to work together. Whether you're an individual working on your career path or your life status, or you're a team or an organization, get a hold of me, jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, morgan.com. Email me, j@jenmorgan.com, and follow the show on Instagram and Facebook @RadicallyDistinct.